Welcome everyone to the RF Sports Radio Show. It is Tuesday, start of our sports week. We got lots to talk about, of course, today. I'm going to bring on my co-host, Royce Fisher, here in just a second. I'm going to remind everyone, all you have to do to follow us is to go to rfsportsradio.com. So much going on, from Dez Bryant, who got arrested just a real walk from where we are right now, from our DeSoto studios, so we have some inside information on that. Plus, NBA free agency talk, Mavericks, Rick Carlisle will be talking about the summer league play that's coming up, and of course, you're getting the Team USA, and also everything going on in the NFL as well. So, big show. Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you download us on iTunes, and also check us out on Twitter. But without further ado, let me bring on the star of our show, my co-host, Mr. Royce Fisher.
Well, thank you, Rodney, for that great introduction. I really do appreciate it.
Well, I hope you do, because I don't do too many
I don't get that very often.
Yeah, no, okay. We don't get too many like that at all.
Why are you being nice tonight?
Well, I'm being nice because I'm going to be a little rough on a couple of people later on during the show. So
okay,
I want to be nice now because after a while I'm going to be pretty rough on a couple of people.
Well, as long as I'm not in the line of fire, I do like debating with you. So maybe I can get your blood pressure up tonight.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. A lot going on. So we'll start off our show with what's going on right there in our backyard, right here in DeSoto, Texas, where we broadcast live from our studios in DeSoto. We'll talk about the story that's breaking just a mere walk from where we are right now, which is so ironic that this is making national.
It's just a stone throw away, right in the neighborhood.
Stone throw away from where we are right now. So let's talk about that first. We're going to be joined by, of course, the calls as well. So if you guys want to call in, 323-927-2906. Let's talk about one Dez Bryant, who was arrested after a domestic violence disturbance or alleged domestic violence against none other than his own mom. This happened on Sunday night. He was arrested on Monday, bonded out, and now we're getting more and more details about the story. And again, I didn't post any of this on the website because I'm more interested in talking about the football aspect of everything, not what's going on off the field. But I figured we had to talk about it because it happened so close to us.
It's something you can't ignore. It's in the news, especially local news. And they released the 911 tape today. So it's something you can't ignore, Rodney. We have to talk about it.
Yeah, it's something we have to talk about. And my biggest thing about this whole situation is the fact that why does everyone have to paint DeSoto in such a bad light? I mean, it seems like every time you hear the story, it's Dez Bryant was arrested in DeSoto. DeSoto police arrested Dez Bryant. According to DeSoto police, Dez Bryant arrested in DeSoto. You know, and that's the problem I have is that, you know, you're giving our city a bad name, you know, because every time it's somebody Dez Bryant, I'm hearing DeSoto this and DeSoto that.
Well, I don't think it has anything to do with DeSoto as much as it does Dez Bryant. I mean, the 911 tape came out today, Rodney. Great football player, but his off the field antics have cost him a lot, man. You know, it's childish stuff that we're hearing about him in the news. I think it's time for Dez Bryant to grow up. I mean, it's just too many little things, and I'm really concerned about this last incident. After the 911 calls came out today. And his mother kept stating the fact, I can't keep letting him get away with this. I don't know what she meant by that. So apparently what I'm getting out of this is it's been going on a while. And I know he has a temper. I know he has an attitude. But, I mean, to attack your mother, that's what it seems like. That's a little bit much. You know, you normally a man would just walk away. I can see myself grabbing my mother, even touching with my mom. I would just have to walk away. So this to me sends up a red flag. If I was the Dallas Cowboys, I would be concerned about Dez Bryant right now.
You know, and the thing is you know, him and his mom already have a pretty interesting relationship as it is. So it's kind of hard to really know what this argument was about or how often they argued or when they argued, what kind of arguments they have. It could have been physical arguments for quite some time. From the injuries that she sustained on her arms and on her wrists, it seemed more like he was grabbing her around the arms or grabbing her around the wrists, and maybe that caused the bruising. Now, the guy does play professional football, so I can imagine his grip being a lot tighter than most people. I mean, he's a wide receiver, you know, so he has to grip the ball pretty tight. And I think that may have been what it was. Either way, it's just unfathomable to really see anyone assaulting their mom in any kind of way, let alone, you know, even just verbally assaulting your mom, you know, and
right.
to put your hands on any kind of way is really a problem. You know, I don't want to delve too much about it because we try to focus on what's on the field versus what's off the field. But I think he's really got something he's got to work on and something he's going to have to really, really work on fast, because I think that Roger Goodell, once he finally has a chance to deal with this, he's going to be facing some suspensions, I think.
He's definitely going to go to the principal's office. And we know who the principal is because he's, number one, he put his hand on a woman. And we know the NFL is bad about that. We've seen that happen a lot. And two is off-the-field behavior. Because, you know, if you look back at some of the things he's done, he was banned from the North Park Mall. We all know North Park is one of the high-end malls in Dallas. And he was there with his pants hanging, which is childish. Grown men don't wear their clothes like that. And then he got into a scuffle, my understanding, with the security guards. And he wouldn't leave the mall. Therefore, he was banned. He was literally in a fight in a Miami bar. Something came over non-payment of jewelry. I mean, it's just childish stuff, man. It's stuff that teenagers do. I mean, he's playing a grown man game. He's in the city of Dallas. He has the whole world handed to him. He's one of those athletes that, you know, that's born with God-given talent. And for him, his attitude and his off-the-field antics is really making him look really bad to me, in my eyes. So if I was the Dallas Cowboys, I would be concerned. I'm pretty sure Jerry's going to get to the bottom of that. I'm going to reserve judgment until I hear exactly what happened. But I heard the 911 tapes, and they were disturbing.
Yeah, it was. It was difficult to listen to. It really was. You know, but you bring up these other incidents, like the jury incident, the fighting in the club, the North Park Mall incident. All that I can really see that as, you know, a product of being young, not growing up, that I can understand. But when you talk about assaulting someone, let alone your mom, then that crosses the line into not just being a stupid young person or just being young into being criminal. You know, to really having a problem, something mental, something anger management. I don't know what it is, but that's a whole different thing than what he's been accused of in the past, because in the past he hasn't been arrested, but this time he's actually been arrested.
Yeah, it was enough evidence that they arrested him. I mean, I know he turned himself in, but you have to have enough evidence to even arrest somebody. You know, they go to disturbances all the time, but apparently it was bad enough where they had to arrest him, and he did turn himself in, but that doesn't change what happened.
No, it doesn't change what happened at all. And to give you guys a point of reference from our angle, you know, we're literally in walking distance to where all this took place on Sunday. And that's why we're spending the time to talk about it. And me and you both have had run-ins with Dez Bryant.
Absolutely.
Both good and both bad. You know, I can tell you from experience, I ran into him one time at the Papados that's close to where we are here, and he was in there. He was very loud, him and a friend of his, and they were very loud. They had some drinks, got some food, and left. It left a bad impression on everybody that was there at the time because the way he acted. It was young, it was immature, and you know, we can overlook that because, of course, we're more focused on what he does on the field. Even you yourself had a couple of run-ins with him here in town as well, too.
Yeah, for me, it was road rage. You know, we got into it. I guess he thought I'd cut him off, and I didn't really know who he was at the time. But I know this young guy that really having road rage. We got to the light and we exchanged words, you know. I usually just wave people off. I'm not one of the road rage type persons. I kind of blow it off. And I kind of waved him off. And I mean, he gave me the dirtiest look, like he wanted to come out the car at the red light on me. So I just kind of ignored him. But, you know, that's arrogant to me. I think this is arrogant. It's okay to have it on the field, but off the field is a totally different thing.
Yes, that's young stuff, and I think this right here crosses the line. You know, but other than what he's done off the field, we know his problems. We know this is going to be a major issue. In terms of what the Cowboys should do with this point forward, what Jerry Jones should do from this point forward. Now, we know Jerry Jones has a very high level of tolerance when it comes to star wide receivers. I mean, you can go back to Michael Irvin from all the run-ins that he has had with the police here in Dallas and his whole, you know, off the field antics really getting exposed for the world to see. Jerry always stood by his side. He always kept him on the team. But the thing about Michael Irvin that was different than Dez Bryant to me was that Michael Irvin was one of the hardest working people on the field.
He came
before practice. He stayed late. He showed up in the games. He didn't disappear in the second half. And then coming to camp or coming to the season, you know, out of shape and not able to play a full game at 100%. And I think that's a big difference. And I think Jerry should really look at that pretty carefully and say, you know what, is this really worth it? Do we really want to go down this road again? I mean, you saw what happened with Tank Johnson, Pac-Man
Jones.
Yeah,
if you look at the history of the Dallas Cowboys, you know, there's a history of them. Putting up with these guys. We saw it with Pac-Man, and if I was a Cowboys, as much as you have invested in Dez Bryant, and you count on him so much this year, you know, you might have to do like Josh Hammond. You might have to sign somebody to be his mentor or be with him. You know, I don't know what you have to do, but he needs anger management, that's for sure.
He needs something. I mean, he definitely needs something because this is crossing the line right here. In my opinion, I think at this point you just cut bait with the guy. You know, I don't know if you can just stay for him at this point. Of course, I like what he does on the field, but sometimes it's bigger than what people do on the field to me.
Right.
And I think at this point you have to really just cut bait with the guy and try to find something else, try to find somebody else. You may have to work out a trade or whatever the case may be. But say he gets suspended for 4 games.
And that costs the team.
That costs the team. Yeah, exactly. So, and then your number two receiver is going to be Ogletree, which we know he's not a number two. They don't have Laurent Robinson. And I think that Jerry needs to really look at, okay, well, who's going to be my next wide receiver? Who's my backup plan?
You know, and having to move up, what, to 24 to take him in the pick. And then a lot of teams passed on Dez Bryant because of his, some of the baggage he brought with him from Oklahoma. So, you know, it was a flag to begin with, and it's something they should have taken notice, you know, after the first incident to let it go on this long. And we saw what happened to Michael Irvin. As you know, too early, he eventually lost his job, you know, twice,
true.
You know, behind
true.
Some of his addicts. So if you don't nip it in the bud, eventually it's going to get worse. It's going to be the destruction of Dez Bryant. I won't be surprised. You know, if it happens, because the writing's on the wall.
Yeah, I agree. But I just want to get that out there that, you know, anyone that even thinks that anyone, not just your mom, but any friend, or associate, coworker, if you get to the point where you get so mad at someone, you got to put their hands on them. You need to just walk away.
Absolutely,
I mean, that's what you need to do. You need to just walk away. Don't put yourself in any kind of situation like that because nothing can come out good from this situation for Dez Bryant. But we hope the family can get it together.
We hope something
can be done. You know, I hope we can get some help to really help him become a productive citizen in the world, not just in DeSoto, although it would help if you put DeSoto on the map for a better reason. But,
and you know, Rodney,
that's my personal opinion, so.
Oh, one more question. As a Cowboy fan, and we know you're the number one Cowboy fan, and as a Dez Bryant fan, how do you look at this guy now? I mean, what do you, you know, Does he get booed? Critics critique him?
Yeah, he's going to get booed. You know, I listened to a lot of talk radio today here locally, and he had a lot of Cowboys fans just showing support. Like, well, look, I don't care what happens off the field. I just want to see him play on the field. I don't care what he does or what happens. And I can respect that. In a sense, I feel like that too. But when I heard the 911 call and I heard his mom on the call just say, I can't keep letting him do this. I can't keep letting him do me like this. I'm tired. I'm going to put it in today. I'm tired. When I heard that, then I realized then, I said, you know what? I have a conscience, too. You know, I'm a huge Dallas Cowboys fan, huge sports fan, but I have a conscience at the same time. And just based on that alone, I feel like, you know what, maybe it's time to part ways with the guy so he can get some real help and figure out what needs to happen. But, again, this literally happened maybe, I don't know, maybe, what, a five-minute walk from our studio? I mean, that's how close the situation was for us.
Right.
So let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will talk about the NBA free agency, some news on Jeremy Lin that our writer Hunter Sims put together. He's going to join us for that segment as well. So stay tuned. You listen to the RF Sports Radio show on rfsportsradio.com.
This is RF with the RF Sports Radio Show. Do you have a business, a product, a service, or a website, and you need more customers? Advertise with the fastest-growing internet sports radio show and market your business to sports fans worldwide. Don't miss a unique opportunity to capitalize on the biggest marketing genre in the world. Email me at rfsportsradio@gmail.com. That's rfsportsradio@gmail.com. We have options for every budget, and don't let business pass you by. We are back. DeSoto Eagles football is back on RF Sports Radio. Starting August 31st, tune in to RF Sports Radio to hear live Texas high school football action. Coach Claude Mathis returns to lead the Texas football powerhouse on another big season. The electric Dez White and Oregon recruit Dontre Wilson lead a high-powered, high-scoring offense. And hear it all right here on rfsportsradio.com. It all starts August 31st as the DeSoto Eagles take on Arlington Martin right there in Arlington, Texas. Tune in live for rfsportsradio.com for live DeSoto Eagles football action only here.
Welcome back, everyone, to the program. Again, we just got to be talking about Dez Bryant. We're going to get into some NBA free agency talk. I want to remind everyone, you can follow all of our stories, all of our talk by going to rfsportsradio.com. Let's go ahead and welcome onto the program for the first time, but not the last time, our rfsportsradio.com writer, Mr. Hunter Sims. Royce is welcoming to the program and also
welcome to the team as well, man.
How you doing today, Hunter?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
Good. Nice to have you on tonight.
It's nice to be on. I'm really excited for this, and I'm glad to be working with you guys.
Cool. Let's talk about a story that you just posted on rfsportsradio.com about Jeremy Lin. Now, not going to be a New York Knick. So tell us a little bit about that.
I was hoping he would go to the Knicks. I mean, Carmelo Anthony wanted him back very badly. It was kind of dirty for them to offer him that while the Knicks were trying to decide if they were going to re-sign him or not. And then, of course, they didn't want to match the Rockets' offer. So looks like there's going to be a lot of sad Knicks fans next year.
Now, are you one of those sad Knicks fans?
I'm not a big Knicks fan. I watch a little bit of NBA, but I think it is pretty bad. I was really hoping Jeremy Lin, after having such a great year this past year, coming out of nowhere with the Knicks, you know, and having a great year with him and Carmelo, and it was fun watching him, that's for sure. I really wish he would have stayed with the Knicks. But
yeah,
I think it's like
your article states, Carmelo really wanted him to be a part of the Knicks. I'm right about that. This 3-year, $25 million deal that the Rockets put together is really backloaded at the end of the deal, where he's getting $15 million that last year in the third year. And I think that scared the Knicks away a lot. plus the fact that they signed Jason Kidd, who he thought was going to be working with Jeremy Lin. But I think, Royce, when they signed Raymond Felton, now that he's having two
right.
point guards, that made the decision a lot easier to go ahead and let Lin go to Houston.
And I think the Knicks, I think Houston called the Knicks bluff on him. I didn't think they were going to offer him that amount. But here's my opinion on that. I don't know whether Carmelo Anthony liked him or not, but I know they couldn't play together because Jeremy Lin is built for the pick and roll. What we know is Carmelo Anthony is a ball stopper. When he gets the ball stops. I think it's a great deal for Jeremy Lin to play in Houston where they're going to feature the pick and roll. Now, I think the problem is bigger than Jeremy Lin in New York. I think it's bigger than that. They did get on the roll late, but when they played together, they couldn't play together. I mean, when Carmelo was out, Jeremy Lin played great, but when Carmelo came back, it just didn't mix, and I think the Knicks saw that.
Let me ask you, Hunter, I mean, you got your finger on the pulse of this situation. As far as Jeremy Lin not going to Houston, you think that he may do better in a Houston style of offense versus the New York offense?
I think it might take him a little while to get adjusted with the new team, like it did with the Knicks. I mean, he got waived from the Knicks, what was it, two times?
Yeah.
And he finally
and
got a chance. Do what?
And Houston. Houston cut him too.
Oh, yeah. Well, now they're finally getting him back. I think he'll fit good with Houston. Houston's doing some good things. They're also trying to get Dwight Howard, although I heard some talk about Dwight Howard maybe going possibly to the Lakers now. But I think it'll be good for Lin. He'll get a lot more playing time than he probably would have over there at New York. I think he'll end up starting this year for the Rockets and having a very successful season and helping them out a lot tremendously.
Again, we're joined by Hunter Sims, writer for RFSportsRadio.com. Follow him on Twitter at HunterSims6 or go to our website. You can follow him there as well, too. Hunter, you also put up a story this week as well in regards to Dwight Howard. So you just mentioned about him going to L.A., and that's the talk as it is today. But let me ask you about the story you wrote about him going to Houston. Houston basically gave the Orlando Magic a deal that I didn't think they could really refuse. They're going to take on all these expiring contracts from Orlando, basically their whole roster, all the people that they didn't want, and still give them a young team that was cheap and was actually going to be a pretty good team that helps them build for the future. Are you surprised that the Orlando Magic didn't pull the trigger on that deal?
I'm not real surprised. I mean, they would have to rebuild their whole roster. They're going to lose their superstar if they were to sit there and do that and Dwight Howard. It would maybe be a good idea because you're getting a lot of really good young prospects like Chandler Parsons out of Florida. And, I mean, I don't know. I know the Rockets wanted him badly. They were offering a lot, and including a first-round pick. I am a little surprised maybe that the Magic didn't do it, but I just kind of felt maybe they wouldn't because I don't think they really want to rebuild their whole roster like that. They'd be losing pretty much their whole starting roster, and including some people off the bench that they really do need. I just didn't feel like they would actually want to do that.
Russ, you think that it's an LA move for Dwight Howard is good, better for him, or you think it's even going to happen, or is it just talk?
I can't see him going to the Lakers. I can't see them getting rid of Andrew Bynum. If he does go to Houston, that's great for Jeremy Lin. But am I the only one in America that's sick and tired of Howard and the hot seat as hell over the NBA this summer?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm kind of tired of it. I wish the deal gets done, he goes somewhere so we can move on. I'm just tired of it. I think he made a bad decision last year when he said he was going to stay a year. And you got to be careful what you say because he'd come back and bite you. He should have just kept quiet. And Orlando wants to get rid of him. It's evident that he wants to leave. But I'm tired of it. I wish somebody would do something, but I can't see him to the Lakers. And I think the Lakers would make a big mistake if they got rid of Andrew Bynum.
Well, you know what? I've been always saying that I thought for sure he would end up in L.A. some kind of way. You know, he spends his off season in L.A. He likes being out there. He wants to get into the Hollywood scene, the movies, and all the good stuff. He wanted to go to Brooklyn because of the fact that that's a huge market, and he have a chance to really be a superstar there, where there's no other, no brighter light than
New York and L.A., right.
Yeah, exactly. So I think he'll definitely, if they want this deal to work, he can go. I'm a huge Andrew Bynum fan, you know, quite honestly. We've had him on the show before, and I like the guy. I know he's young and hard-headed, but he's got better offensive moves, I think, than Dwight Howard does. But let me ask you, Hunter, who do you think is a better, if you had to make a trade one way or the other, they said, hey, you had to pick one, which one would you pick, Dwight Howard or Andrew Bynum?
Honestly, Dwight Howard has a lot of hype. Andrew Bynum is probably the second best center, I think, behind Dwight Howard in the NBA right now. I think I would bring in Dwight Howard. He'd bring in probably a lot more money to L.A., plus you would have the best center in basketball, including one of the best point guards in basketball, Steve Nash. I think he could really be a very good addition, and they would probably, I think, they could win it all if they got Dwight Howard and add him to their roster, starting five.
Wow. I don't want to see Dwight Howard go to the Lakers because...
Oh, why are you hating on the Lakers? I don't understand.
I'm upset with the Lakers because they gave us Lamar Odom. I'm not going to ever forgive the Lakers for that. That's for sure. But I don't know. That's Kobe's town, and I don't know if Kobe is going to be able to share the spotlight with them. I know they want him. I think Bynum is going to have a breakout year with Steve Nash giving him the ball. You know, he always disappears. Him and Paul Gasol always disappear in the fourth quarter. That was their problem last year and the previous year. They were not existing in the fourth quarter. But with Steve Nash there to facilitate the ball, I think Bynum is going to have a breakout year. We know he can carry this team. He did it when Kobe was out. I think he's going to only get better.
Well, again, we're joined by Hunter Sims. Hunter, why don't you let everybody know how to keep in contact with you, what's the best way, and all that good stuff.
The best way to probably get in contact with me is through Twitter at HunterSims6. I'm on that always, and I have it on my phone. That, or you can email me. My email is hsgators@gmail.com, and I always have my email open. So those are the best ways to get hold of me.
No doubt, man. Thank you for joining us today.
That was a great article you wrote. I suggest everybody go back and read it. Great article.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Thank you for joining us, man. Thanks for joining the team as well, man.
No problem. I'm really excited to be with you guys and writing for RF Sports. Thank you for having me.
No doubt, man. Hunter Sims, writer for RFSportsRadio.com. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at HunterSims6. Or go to our website. You can follow him there as well. Again, just posted up the Jeremy Lin story, so to go back and read that and go read some more of his articles. Also, too, Royce. Let's take another quick break, Royce. And when we come back, let's get into more NBA free agency talk. The Lakers actually put out for another free agency move that I think is going to be even bigger, maybe even better than making a trade for Dwight Howard. You're listening to RF Sports Radio, rfsportsradio.com.
We are back. DeSoto Eagles football is back on RF Sports Radio. Starting August 31st, tune in to RF Sports Radio to hear live Texas high school football action. Coach Claude Mathis returns to lead the Texas football powerhouse on another big season. The electric Dez White and Oregon recruit Dontre Wilson lead a high-powered, high-scoring offense. And hear it all right here on rfsportsradio.com. It all starts August 31st as the DeSoto Eagles take on Arlington Martin right there in Arlington, Texas. Tune in live for rfsportsradio.com for live DeSoto Eagles football action only here.
Welcome back, everyone, to the program. We bring Royce Fisher back on. We just got through talking to rfsportsradio.com writer Hunter Sims. Again, follow him on Twitter at HunterSims6 and all his articles and stuff on rfsportsradio.com. We're definitely happy to have him a part of the team. And again, if you're looking to be a writer, get your voice heard, get your articles out there, send us an email at rfsportsradio@gmail.com. or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/RFSportsRadio. And get into some other NBA free agency talk real fast, Royce. I mentioned that the Lakers had another signing. They did pick up Antoine Jamison, former Maverick. And I think that's a big move for them because now they have someone that can work that perimeter, can move without the ball, and Steve Nash needs people to pass the ball too. They can hit some shots.
And he's a good utility guy. I think he's built his reputation on coming off the bench. He's started in quite a few teams. I think it's a good addition for them. It gives them another score, takes some of the pressure off of Kobe. I thought it was a pretty good addition. I didn't see it coming.
No, I didn't either. I didn't see it coming either, you know. But I think it's a good addition for them, like you said, because, I mean, it helps. It helps them out.
Gives them another score. Right.
Helps them out tremendously. Also, in other news, Chris Humphries gets re-signed to the Brooklyn Nets. I want to say New Jersey so bad, but gets signed to the Brooklyn Nets. $12 million a year. I don't know if he had his best season last year. 15 points a game, 13 rebounds, averaging a double-double. And they go ahead and decide to keep him. And I think he had the best line when he sent out a tweet today about the line in Kanye's song about him having Jay drop him from the team. He said, well, I guess Jay decided not to drop me from the team. And he re-signs with the Brooklyn Nets, but a good move for them. Let's go ahead and talk about Grant Hill. Grant Hill just got signed with the Clippers, Royce. Are you surprised about that?
I was surprised when I saw the article. But great move on the Clippers' part. I know Grant Hill has one good year left in him, and he played very well when he was in Phoenix. I thought he was good. Great defender. Also give them another score. And the guy does play great. And that's the Clippers' downfall. They don't play defense. But I think this guy is a great addition to the Clippers. I thought that was a great move on their part.
Yeah, I think so, too. Grant Hill could really help the Clippers be – they need that. You know, they were missing that when Chauncey Billups went down last year. That they had that veteran guy that's been there, especially a guy that's won a title like Chauncey Billups has done. I mean, he's missed the big shot. He's made the big shots. He's done what it takes. Now they have Grant Hill, a veteran guy and that can really come in and settle that team down.
He's got something to prove, too. He has something
to prove. It was all because of Chauncey Billups that they didn't have a mutiny on their hands when they wanted Vinny Del Negro out of there. He was the one that told everybody, hey, we're a good team. We're winning games. Let's calm down. Let's settle in and get this thing going. So it was really him that really kind of made that thing happen. So I'm really glad to see Grant Hill a part of that team. You know, he's going to really give them some stability and some leadership in the locker room that I think they really, really can benefit from.
You know, I was hoping somewhere down the line that the Mavericks would pick him up. I thought maybe it'd be available. It didn't happen. It would have been a great pickup for the Mavericks. I've always liked Grant Hill. Great guy, great basketball player. And the guy still has a couple of years left in the tank.
Yeah, speaking of the Mavericks, that's what I want to get into
next. Yeah, we got to talk about your Mavs.
The Mavericks, they picked up, of course, Chris Kaman. I thought that was a great pickup. They also picked up Elton Brand, and they did also pick up O.J. Mayo today. Let me get your thoughts, first of all, on what they've been able to do.
Well, finally, they're starting to get a little competitive. From what I'm seeing from the Mavericks, that team will be a pretty decent team on the floor. Now, can they win? I don't know, but after training camp and these guys going through the whole process of mini camps, I think they make it pull a pretty decent team together. I thought Mayo was a great pickup. They needed that. And I think they're going to bring Delonte West back, which is another great move. So we might see a decent team. Derek does have some help now. I'm pretty sure he'll come back with somewhat of a smile when he gets back to Dallas. Instead of, like, you know, he said a couple of weeks ago, he'd go to the locker room and go, what have I gotten myself into? But I think he'll be happy with his team. And if we could get one of the three rookies to step up and maybe fill a role and Roddy to come into his own, I think we'll have a pretty decent team. Now, can they beat the powerhouse in the West? I don't think so. Oklahoma's still great. The Lakers have gotten better. And of course not San Antonio, so it's starting to look like a pretty decent team. What do you think?
Yeah, you know what? This is going to be – this is a very surprising roster for me. I mean –
I would have never thought it in a million years.
No. I mean, I'm looking at the roster as it is right now. You've got Roddy Bubois, Elton Brand, Vince Carter, Darren Collison, Jay Crowder, Jerry Cunningham, Taja Dragic, Bernard James, Dante Jones, Dominique Jones, Chris Kamen, Sean Marion, Dirk Nowitzki, and Brandon Wright, and then pencil in OJ Mayo in there as well too. So I'm looking at this roster, and I'm asking myself, you know, honestly, is this team better than last year's team?
I don't think so. And that was my question. I don't think they're better than last year.
What do you think makes this team the way it is right now not better than last year's team?
Well, last year you had experience. You had some veterans, and you had Jason Terry and Jason Kidd. Those are two reasons right there.
Yeah.
That's enough for me. But I'm glad they're doing something. It's not what people wanted. It's kind of like pick up the pieces now. We got to do something. I think Mayo will be a, you know, he's young, 24. I think he could be around a while, somebody you can work with. I'm liking what I've seen out of the rookies. I haven't seen them play yet, but, they got big shoes to fill when they come to Dallas. And I don't think this team is better than any of the other teams I named in the West. Now, if they make the playoffs, that's good. There's three things the Mavericks did good so far this year. Kept re-signed Carlisle as coach. I thought that was a great move. To dump Lamar Odom and to get rid of Brendan Haywood. Other than that, I'm going to hold my judgment until I see what's on the floor come basketball season.
You know, I think honestly, and maybe I'm just being optimistic, but I think this team has a chance to be a lot better than the team that they had before.
Well,
they're
a lot younger. I will say that. Better is yet to be, you know, the team you're talking about has won 50 games the last, 10 years?
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah, I know
it's
that, but you think about it, they got younger, they got more athletic.
Yeah, but is this a 50-win team? We don't know that yet.
No, of course not. No, we don't. We don't know that yet.
But you know the Mavericks were going to make the playoffs every year with the team that they had. They were going to make, win or not, they were going to make the playoffs.
Well, I agree to that. And they'll make the playoffs again this year with the team that they have. They'll make the playoffs. I mean, I don't think it's a question of if they will or won't. I think this team will be a little better team than what they had last year. Now, I think the biggest loss from last year was Jason Terry. The points that he provided, the toughness he provided last year is going to be – that's what they had to replace. And I think they brought in enough shooters with O.J. Mayo and Darren Collison, and they brought in enough people to really kind of counter what Jason Terry put out there on the floor. And you can't tell me that Chris Kamen in center is better than having Brendan Haywood. That's a much better option than Brendan Haywood. Elson Brand is a much better option than Brendan Haywood or even Jan Mahimi. If you're looking at who's going to play in the middle, even I'd rather have Bernard James out there than Brendan Haywood.
Well,
positions that they need to upgrade.
I'm just going by experience and what I've seen so far in the NBA, and it's a true fact that when the Boston Big Three got together, it took them a while to learn to play together and win. Same thing in Miami. Is this team going to gel? That's the question. I mean, it's all about chemistry. It's all about matchups. Can this team match up?
Yeah, I think it can. So, but, again, they're going to have to get past the athletic teams, and I think that's why they decided to go so young, you know, because they had no choice but to go young.
Yeah,
of course.
You can't go older. That's for sure. With Oklahoma City and Memphis, and all these the Clippers, all these great teams, you have to get younger. You have to get more athletic. But I do have high hopes for them. Now, will they win? I'm not sure. I think they do make the playoffs. I think they're out the first round. And but I think, you have to do what you have to deal with. That's what they dealt. That's what they have to do with. You know, we know they didn't get what they wanted, so you have to do something to put something on the floor. But so far, they got the best available players, I thought, that were left out there.
Later on in the show, we're going to listen to Rick Carlisle talk about the Mavs getting ready to play summer league play. Darren Collison did come out and do an interview today and talked about how he's anticipating coming in and working with Dirk and how he's going to fit in there. And last week we didn't know what the hell the Mavericks are going to do.
Nobody did.
And today I feel a lot better about what they've done. So this is my opinion. I feel a lot better about what they've done.
Are they competitive now? I would say they're a competitive team.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree to that. I would definitely agree to that. Before we go to another quick break, Phil Jackson, apparently he's in negotiations with the Portland Trailblazers by coming to the Portland Trailblazers some type of consulting type of role. Now, the Trailblazers need a head coach, and I think that's the sticking point is Phil wants to get paid, from reports I've heard, $12 million a year, to basically be a consultant from L.A., like just over the phone and go to a couple of meetings, but not really be involved in the franchise like they want him to be and want him to be a head coach. If you're Phil Jackson, if you're the Portland Trailblazers, do you basically just say, you know what, we won't be associated with Phil Jackson no matter what?
Well, they definitely have no money to pay him, and I think they're hoping that he get the itch and come and coach. They just want him up there in Portland. I think Allen has enough money where he could pay him. But who wouldn't want Phil Jackson?
That's true.
He has an eye for talent. He's a great coach, a philosopher. He can motivate the players. He can nick any conflict you have with the players and management. It'd be a great move for anybody to pick up Phil Jackson. You know, he's my idol, Rodney.
Yeah, I know. I know he is. I remember how starstruck he were when we talked to him during that playoff. His last game was a coach. We were there.
Right, absolutely. And if you had to name one of the top five persons you admire the most, he would be in my top five.
Yeah, I would say that. I would say he'd be in my top five, too. Let's take a quick 30-second break. When we come back, we'll talk about Team USA and the scare they had last night against the Brazil team.
Talk about the LeBron James show.
We'll get into a little LeBron James show. And then, of course, we'll wrap it up with the NFL and the new deals in the NFL. You're listening to RF Sports Radio, rfsportsradio.com.
This is RF with the RF Sports Radio Show. Do you have a business, a product, a service, or a website, and you need more customers? Advertise with the fastest-growing internet sports radio show and market your business to sports fans worldwide. Don't miss a unique opportunity to capitalize on the biggest marketing genre in the world. Email me at rfsportsradio@gmail.com. That's rfsportsradio@gmail.com. We have options for every budget, and don't let business pass you by.
Welcome back to the RF Sports Radio Show. I want to again remind everyone to check us out online at rfsportsradio.com. Also, if you've got the TuneIn Radio app, you can find our show there. Just do a search for RF Sports Radio. We also want to thank Icebreaker Radio for re-airing our broadcast every Monday night at 8:30 at icebreakerradio.com. I also want to give a special thanks to Hunter Sims and to the Asylum Football Podcast, who just joined RF Sports Radio as well, too. So, Royce, we're growing, and in business, if you're not growing.
The family is expanding right now. I'm excited. These guys bring a lot to the show and to the RF Sports. And great articles. I suggest people go online and read them.
Yeah, no doubt. And, of course, you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/RF Sports Radio. There is no one on Twitter that gives you up-to-the-minute sports and information like we do, so make sure you definitely follow us there. Let's get into a little Team USA basketball. We had a debate on last show. That was a huge show, by the way. Thank everyone for downloading and listening to that. But we had a huge debate on last show about Team USA versus the Dream Team. And that's to say the Dream Team won that debate.
Yeah, just barely. I mean, they won.
Of course, it was a 2-1 argument. I had no one on my side, and it was you and Derek Page from HoopsWorld.com. He was on with us, so go back and download this show.
Well, you know what, Rodney? I'm more convinced today that the Dream Team can beat this team hands down after what I saw last night.
Let's talk about what we saw last night. The Team USA team did get the win. They only won by 11 points, and it got kind of dicey at times, even in the first quarter and even later on in the game as well, too. So your impressions from what you saw against that Brazil team, who had more NBA stars in their team than I really thought about. They had Nene and Thiago Splitter and Varejão and Leandro Barbosa. And so tell me a little bit about your impressions of what you saw last night.
I didn't see a very poor American team. They were okay. I saw some things need improvement. I thought LeBron James proved once again that he is a leader. He's a baller. He can close. And if it wasn't for LeBron James, we wouldn't have won. Even with the president in the building, they could have played better. Having said that, you did say there were a lot of NBA stars with this other team, and I thought that was the problem. These guys don't back down from them because they play with them in the NBA. So they're not going to back down. We're going to see a lot more of that because there are a lot of NBA players playing with these foreign teams, the European teams, and they're not going to back down from these guys. And I think it's going to be a pretty tough hill to climb. I think they will win it, but I don't think it's going to be as pretty as the Dream Team did years ago. It'll be a struggle this year. And with no big men in the middle, I think you're going to really have problems.
Yeah, they won 80-69. They had a 10-point deficit they had to come back from and win. LeBron had 30, and the second player
30.
With the highest score was Kevin Durant with 11, and Chris Paul with 10. So they're really going to get exposed, I think, more so than people think, but not having big men down low, and then they've got a bunch of streaky-type shooters. The only pure shooter they really have is Kevin Durant, you know, if you look at the way the team is constructed. So let me ask you this. Do you feel like they may need to be cautious about this? Do you think it's not just a shoe-in at their win goal?
I think they need to be very cautious. I thought Mike kind of held back on some of the things that they're going to do. They didn't want to expose, you know, everything to the world. It was just the practice. But I think they are in trouble because no big man. And I didn't see these guys playing great basketball last night. And they're going to get better because they didn't want to show their hand, I say that. But when they run up against these teams that have NBA players on there, these guys are not going to back down. They're going to play harder. And you know they have their mind and their eyes set on beating the USA team. When the Dream Team played, these guys were starstruck. Everybody sat there. They were so amazed at seeing these great players from the U.S. Olympic team that they stood around and watched. We saw that a lot. But this team is going to have their hands full because these guys are out to win. They think they're just as good as they are. They do play in the NBA, and they're not going to back down.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they'll win the gold medal, no doubt about it. But I think it's going to be tougher than they anticipate, and to really be considered another Dream Team type of team, they got to beat teams by 20, 30 points. But again, what I brought up last week is that the competition has changed. It's a lot tougher for these guys to win gold now. So then they make the if they win gold and win by double digits in every game, that didn't make what they did bigger than what the Dream Team has done or did.
There can only be one Dream Team. I thought we settled this last week.
Yeah, we
only, there's no such thing as two dream teams. There can only be one dream team. And when PlayStation comes out with that app, and I get to play you, the dream team against your, what do you call this team? Star team?
We don't have a name for right
this
now,
team.
Right now, they just Team USA right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, but we don't have a name for them.
Quick breaking news, we're getting this in as we speak right now, that they did have a sighting of Dwight Howard at the L.A. Dodgers game tonight, maybe in town to talk with the Lakers.
Well, doesn't he live in L.A.? No big deal.
Yeah, he does live
in
L.A.
in L.A.
That's true.
Yeah, he's trying to get out, but like I said, I'm sick and I don't even want to talk about Dwight Howard the rest of the night. So we'll leave that alone.
What did you think about the other entertainment from last night with President Barack Obama showing up, bringing the family out to watch the game? I thought that was pretty neat that he came out to watch the game. I know it was in D.C., but he's a basketball fan as he is. I thought it was neat when he came to watch the game. One thing I don't like is they're making so much hub and publicity over this whole kissing thing. I mean, come on, man.
You and I go to the game. Sometimes people aren't paying attention. All of a sudden, the camera's on you. The kisser, you know. And my understanding was the first time that they didn't even notice the camera on them until the daughter told them that the camera, they want camera, and he kissed her. You know, you can't refuse a kiss on a kiss cam. You know, he did it. Like I said, it was great to see him. He's a huge basketball fan. I would love to have got a one-on-one interview with Barack Obama last night. That would be great. And heard his thoughts about what he thought about the game and the possibility of them winning another goal.
Yeah, I think so, too. Man, it was really cool to see him out there, man. I think he's making a big deal out of really nothing.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure they kissed a lot of times.
You know, this other thing that popped up out of here yesterday, too, was that, you know, David Stern's been talking about this 23-year and under age limit for the Olympics. Even Mark Cuban had brought that up at one time as well, too. And Kobe Bryant has outspoken that he's been this offseason. Of course, he wants to stay in the media.
He's been outspoken a lot.
His comment about that today was, it's a stupid idea, and I quote, it's a stupid idea, it should be a choice. Basically, it's just a dumb idea, and we discussed it that way. We just discussed it like that, kind of voice our opinions through the media, guys. So
there's no way we will win with under 23-year-olds playing in the Olympics.
So, huh?
And that puts Kobe Bryant out. I think that's one reason why he did complain. But for him to come out and say it's stupid, you know, in his opinion, it probably is. But I don't think it's going to fly. Because I don't think we'll win another gold medal with 23-year-olds.
Yeah, that's true.
Most of the players are 24 and older anyway.
Yeah, I
like
to
mix that young
and old. Yeah, I do too. Let's jump into the NFL again. You can find us on Twitter.com/RFSportsRadio, on the website, RFSportsRadio.com. Let's jump into some NFL action real fast. Some big news in the NFL, of course, the deals that were signed on Monday. And, of course, the biggest one with Drew Brees, finally getting the deal, $100 million. I told you.
You were one skeptic. Why it took so long, I have no idea. But that's a shame that it did take so long.
Well, I put an article up on Monday. I wrote something about him getting the $100 million deal. And what I said was basically that nobody is worth $100 million in the long run. At the end of that agreement, just like the end of these $200 million deals in baseball, you know, they finally realized nobody's really worth that kind of money. But it's something that they had to do. And I think that his benefit of getting this big deal had to do with that bounty gate. If it wasn't for a bounty gate, he wouldn't have gotten a $100 million deal. I mean, there's just no way it would have happened. They had to make it happen. They had to give him whatever he wanted. And you know what? If he had held out a couple of games, they probably would have renamed the Superdome, Drew Brees Stadium, you know, to get him in there. So I think he played his cards right. He played his leverage right, and it worked in his favor.
And you're absolutely right about that. He did play it right, but to drag out so long, I knew the deal was going to get done. I had that feeling. I know you had doubts. It's apparent you had doubts. You voiced your opinion about it. But somebody else would have gave him $100 million. Trust me. If the Saints hadn't gave to him, and they need his leadership on the field. No head coach this year, and whatever, everything this organization has been through, for them not to sign Drew Brees would have been a disaster for the city. So I thought it was a great move. And then we had a couple of running backs to sign great deals.
That's right. Ray Rice gets a big deal, $40 million for 5 years, and then Matt Forte gets $32 million for 5 years. Which signing do you think is the most important for their team?
I think both are very important. I had both of them on my fantasy football team. I'm playing on Cam Moffitt, Matt Forte this year.
That's
why I led the league, you know, this year, most of the year, because of the two running backs, those two guys. Great, you know, what Ray Rice had, over 1,300 yards. He's 90% of the offense. And for him to go from $7 million to $17 million, man, I mean, you can't complain about that. Good job, Ray Rice. You got your money. If anybody deserves it, he does. And Matt Forte, if he hadn't got hurt this year, I would have won the whole fantasy football title this year.
Oh, so that's what it's really about, then.
But, you know, those two guys are proven backs. You know, they've been in the league a while. They're great running backs. And you almost have to have a great running back. They're stars. You have to have stars on your team. Both of those guys are stars.
Yeah, you can say that. I mean, I think that the Ray Rice deal is significant because they got to pay Joe Flacco at the end of this season, too. So that kind of helped them have that franchise tag available to put Flacco on it. But they've got other things they got to do, too. They got to get, you know, they got to get Ed Reed happy as well, so I think something's going to happen when he's
pretty soon. Well, I don't see Ed Reed playing too much longer. That's just my opinion.
You know what, though? One thing I thought that was really kind of interesting was the deal with Matt Forte. You know, Matt Forte, everyone's talked about how he's such a great asset to the Bears offense. He does this, but he gets hurt every season. He gets hurt every season. He finally made the Pro Bowl just last season. And I don't know. I don't know if he's necessarily that worthy to me to re-sign. I mean, he's got a lot of mileage on him.
Are you kidding me?
I'm being honest. I mean, I know it's not the status quo, but I just think that, you know, maybe I could have did with that. Because you think about it, the strength of that offense now is not Matt Forte. It's really Jay Cutler. And I think Jay Cutler, but if I pass the ball, they probably get them a lot farther than handing the ball off to Matt Forte.
But that's what makes Jay Cutler such a better quarterback, because they do have a running game. I mean, you know, you can't throw the ball, I guess Jay Cutler can throw it 50 times a game. But he is also 75% of the offense. He's going to get the ball at least 30 times a game, and he does take some of that pressure off Jay. And it does make them a better passing team because they do have a running game.
Well, you can say that. You can say that. I mean,
I'm absolutely right.
One works the other, but most of Matt Forte's yards he has a lot of receiving yards. And Ray Rice is really more of a running type running back, but Matt Forte gets a lot of his stuff out of the backfield and being a receiving type of running back.
Duh. What's wrong with your running back being one of your leading receivers?
Well, nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying. I mean,
that's even better. He can catch and he can run.
But it would have been easier. It would have been easier for them to go into a different direction if they wanted to than it would have been with Ray Rice. That's the only point I'm trying to make.
Listen, if I'm Lovie Smith and I got Matt Forte back, I'm going to be happy because he knows every year his job's on the line. So any help he can get. And Matt Forte is part of that. To get them over the 500 mark and win it, he's happy. How many times have he been threatened to get fired?
Well, I know. That's true, too.
Yeah, I'm happy. I thought it was a great move.
Yeah, I guess you could say so. But still more moves and stuff to be made on the NFL front. Before we go, before we end the show, Royce, you know the Open, the British Open is coming up. Tiger Woods came out and said he thought this was one of the hardest setups he's ever had to play. So my question for you is, are you taking Tiger or are you taking the field?
I'm going to be parked in front of the TV for this whole British Open, and I'm pulling for Tiger Woods. I would love to see him win four championships this year. And this is a big one, Rodney. If he wins this, I think Tiger's back. He can officially announce.
He's been saying it every major, man. Of course, if he wins, he's back.
But Rodney, name one other guy that has won three tournaments so far this year.
There is nobody.
So, I mean, why not root for Tiger? After what he's been through the last couple of years, I think the guy deserves it. I want him to get so ahead of Jack Nicholson that nobody can ever catch him. And what a way to leave his legacy. And the guy's playing great. I mean, I think he's my top two to win. And, of course, I'm going to be pulling for him.
Well, I'm definitely going to be pulling for him. There's no doubt about that. I want the guy to do very, very well.
Well, I don't want a Brit to win, that's for sure.
I understand that. Before we go, we're going to leave you guys with some comments from Rick Carlisle. We got this last Monday. We were down at the Mavericks Arena that were practicing, getting ready for the Summer League play. So I'm going to leave you guys with some audio from Rick Carlisle talking about the team and the way it's constructed. There's young guys that are going to the Summer League. Thank you guys for tuning in. RFSportsRadio.com. Thanks to Hunter Sims. Also, thanks to everyone that downloads our podcast on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or however you get the podcast. I want to thank you guys for doing that. Again, we'll leave you guys with Rick Carlisle. We'll see you guys on Thursday, 10:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, for another show. Until then, everyone be safe. Thank you for listening to Sports Talk from a Fan's Perspective.
Your young ones here.
So they're getting a lot thrown at them in a short period of time, and they're doing well. They're doing well. This is a great opportunity for them. And, this is a precursor to playing in this league, is doing Summer League and getting a taste of what our sort of core things are offensively and defensively.
A lot of times it seems like with Summer League, guys try to play individual games. How much are you emphasizing still playing a team game in these five games that these guys come together?
Well, we're playing our system. So, look, we've been one of the better, the year we won the title, we were the best passing team in basketball, and it wasn't close. Last year, we were one of the best, and, that's always going to be one of the things that we're going to stress as a team, and so we're going to move it. We're not going to play an individual game.
So a little story on Bernard James, and could you talk about how raw he is and his potential and how the Summer League games will help him?
Well, in 4 days' time, he's made great strides. He has a lot of ability, and, we've got to take his raw ability and get him into the right skill situations and develop those things. And we've got to keep it simple, and we got to build gradually, the thing we love about him, we love what he stands for, obviously, as a person, as a kid, as a man, really, as a 27-year-old man. He's a great defender. He's active. He covers the rim. He's athletic, and he's about team. So how can you not love those things?
Does he seem different because of what he's gone through? Does he have a different perspective on things, or does it show on the court at all?
He is different. He is different. He's a man stepping out here. The interesting thing, he doesn't look 27. He looks younger than that. So he's got a younger body than I think most guys at that age. He doesn't have a lot of NBA miles on him. He's got other kinds of miles on him, but those kinds of things I think are a real positive coming into our situation. So, he's going to get better and better. There's no doubt about it.
a guy like Crowder, when you look at your small forward depth, is he the kind of guy that might be able to have an impact early because he can do things that don't necessarily show up on the box score, defense, energy, hustle, that type of thing?
He's high energy. He loves to play. You know, you're talking about a guy that was player of the year in the Big East. I mean, that's a substantial accomplishment. And one of the reasons that he got voted that was because of the enthusiasm and skill that he brings to the game. So, you know, we love him. I mean, since we drafted him, there's been a lot of teams calling us about him because, you know, everybody's interested in him. But we love him, and we're glad that he's here. But we feel he's going to help us. He's going to help us, you know, at times in games, but he's going to help us every day in practice, and he's going to help push everybody. And, you know, he's going to be a system player here for a long time, we feel.
Now that the sign and trade is done, can you just talk about your two new acquisitions?
Well, we've liked Collison for a long time. So we're very fortunate to have the opportunity to trade for him. We have a need at point, which is obvious, and so he helps fill that need. Dante Jones is a guy that is a premier defender, who can bring toughness to our team, who has had a couple of really good years shooting the three, and so we feel like his toughness and experience can add something as well.
Actually, you mentioned the three from Dante Jones, obviously with Jet gone, and Cato was a good three-point shooter for you guys. You guys don't necessarily have that marksman three-point specialist guy. Is that something that you feel still on the radar, and do you feel like the guys you have, who haven't necessarily shot it a lot, could increase their attempts?
Well, it's July 13th.
It is.
Okay? It's not September 27th. So, you know, we feel like there's a lot of summer left. We're still involved in talking to a lot of different people about a lot of different situations, and you know, we love shooters. We're gonna address that as we move forward here.
What are your initial impressions of Micah Downs?
I like him. I know he's been a successful player in Europe. I like his size, length, skill. You know, and this is an opportunity for him to show what he can do, not only for us but, you know, for 29 other teams once he gets to Vegas.
Thank you.
Anything in particular you're looking for from the athletes going to Vegas?
You know, I told them, I told these guys the first day we got together here that, you know, 28 years ago when I went into a rookie camp like this, Red Auerbach stepped into the middle of the room and he said, "We can only go by what we see. So whatever you do, do it to the best of your ability and give us the best chance to evaluate you." And so that's what we've asked them to do. And we're certainly going to work with guys to help get them better every day. But whatever's gotten them to this point is what we need them to do well, what they need to do well. And we'll work with them on the other things going forward.
Can you explain why Chris Kane makes sense to this other team?
Well, he's a terrific low post scorer. He's a very good mid-range shooter for a 7-footer. I don't think we've ever had a center here that can step out and shoot the 18-foot shot consistently. That's been the caliber of player that Chris Kane is. You know, sometimes Dirk's the tallest guy on the floor for us, but he's always the four in our system. He's never been able to play with a five-man that shoots it like that. So. Yeah, those are a couple of the reasons. We just feel like he's a guy that is a great kid. He and Dirk have played together, and they've played well together. And we like him for our franchise.